think.
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing the subject of imamat, and our conversation has reached the point where we were talking about the ruju'ul ashab, turning of the companions towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. And we discussed in the previous class some of the references of well-known narrators in Islamic history from those references, how they were talking about turning towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. Continuing the same discussion, I have some more examples to give today, inshallah. First is about the tafsir. In tafsir, so Arbab al-Tafsir, the major interpreters of Quran, they turn towards Ibn Abbas in their Tafsir. So all those major interpreters in the history are turning in the Sunni side, they turn towards Ibn Abbas. And obviously Ibn Abbas is the Tilmiz, he's the student of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. So this is a very obvious fact. Ibn Abbas himself has said in one of his statements that innahu sharaha li fi ba bismillah rahman rahim. Imam Ali alayhi salam explained for me about Ba of Bismillah Rahman Rahim min awwal al-layl, min from the beginning of the night ila akhirihi, till the end of the night. Well, this is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, volume number 40, in page 186, and they are narrating it from Masharik Masharik al-Anwar, page 96. Now let's turn to the Ilm al-Kalam. Well, the Sunni brothers has two major sects in Ilm al-Kalam, Al-Mu'tazila and Al-Asha'ira.
Mu'tazila, their leader, they all turned to Abu Ali al-Jiba'i. And he is the student of Abu Hashim. And Abu Hashim is the student of Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. And obviously, he, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, is the student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? So, this is the story about Mu'tazila. Abu Ali is the student of Abu Hashim, and he learned his knowledge from Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. Now let's go to Asha'ira. Now this, there are two sects in the Sunni brothers, Mu'tazila and Asha'ira, in the beliefs, Usuluddin. In the Furuddin, they have four sects, four major ones, you know, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, and Hanbali. We are talking about the Usuluddin. In the Usuluddin, there are two. So, Asha'ira, they turned towards Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari. And Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari is the student of Abu Ali al-Jaba'i. And he has already learned the knowledge from this chain that we just explained. So, Abul Hasan al-Ash'ari is the student of Abu Ali al-Jaba'i, and it all comes back to Imam Ali alayhi salam through the chain. So, we have the hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam narrated in Ghurar al-Hikam. According to that narration, Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that لو سنيت لو سنيت لي الوسادة فجلست عليها لحكمتم بين أهل التوراة بتوراتهم من أهل الإنجيل بإنجيلهم ومن أهل الزبور وبين أهل الزبور بزبورهم وبين أهل الفرقان
بفرقانهم والله ما من آية نزلت في ليل أو نهار أو نزلت read it nuzzilat or nazilat. Both ways are grammatically possible to be recited. Nuzzilat or nazilat. Fi laylin or nahar or sahlin or jabal. Or jabalin. Illa wa ana a'lamu. في من نزلت وفي أي وقت شيء نزل This is narrated in Qurar al-Hikam wa Durar al-Kalim. Volume number 6 and page number 287. Now, we learn in the light of this hadith narrated according to Hurar al-Hakam that if the masnad of Riyasat is spread for me, I would, and I sit on that, I would give the judgment, the Hakamto, I would give the judgment between those who belong to Taurat according to their Taurat and those who belong to Injil according to their Injil and those who belong to Zabur according to their Zabur and those who belong to Furqan which is Quran according to their Furqan and Wallahi I swear to Allah that there is no ayat coming down in the night or in the day or in the desert open field or desert or a plain, a field or in a mountain except that I know about whom it was sent down, about whom the ayat came and وَفِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ نَزِلَتْ and about what the ayat came down. So this is how Imam Ali Rasulullah, obviously his knowledge of Quran and the comprehensive knowledge of Quran is. Now let's move from the ilm al-kalam to ilm al-fiqh, furu' al-deen, from usul al-deen to furu' al-deen. In ilm al-fiqh, there are four major sects in the Sunni brothers. They have al
Hanafiya, Hanafi sect, they follow Abu Hanifa. Whose name was Nu'man al-Kufi. He was actually from Kufa. And he is the direct student of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he has said in his statement that لولا السنتان لهلك النعمان. If those 2 years were not there, that means those 2 years where he studied from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Nu'man would have been destroyed. So he learned everything in those 2 years. And then let's move to Shafi'iyya. The Shafi'i sect. Imam Shafi'i is the student of Abu Hanifa through few wasita. His name actually was Muhammad bin Idris. And he learned the knowledge from Muhammad ibn Hassan. Al-Shaybani. And he is the student of Abu Hanifa. So Imam Shafi'i is an indirect student of Abu Hanifa. And now let's move to Al-Hanbaliyya. So their leader is Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And he is the student of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And Malikiyya, the Maliki sect, which is obviously Imam Malik, his knowledge actually turns to Ibn Abbas, who is obviously a student of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So this is about the fiqh. Everything returns back to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even in the fiqh, the knowledge is coming from him. Obviously, so many of the things have been changed and altered by the people, but the source of real knowledge of Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So now let's go to Qadha. Did I erase all this? Qadha means judgments. The judgments of Imam Ali al-Salam is extremely famous in the history, and actually there are books written on that subject. I mean, I have just mentioned a couple of examples here, and we'll move forward, but there are elaborate books on the subject where they just talk about his judgments, and huge list of stories how Imam Ali al-Salam handled various complex scenarios which apparently nobody can understand even that easily, unless you think hard, and then you would realize the wisdoms and reasonings. So in one incident we find a person did the nazar that I will not set free the slave until I give silver as sadaqah equal to the weight of the chain or whatever iron pieces were fixed in the leg of the slave. So equal to the wazan and weight of those iron pieces or chain, whatever that was fixed in his leg, equal to the weight of that steel, I have to give sadaqah, silver as sadaqah. Unless I give that much silver as sadaqah, I will not set free this slave. This kind of nazar. So they came to, obviously, the issue came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, how to resolve this matter now. And it's a long story which I'm actually paraphrasing in my own words. Imam alayhi salam, according to this narration, asked to that the feet of that slave should be put in water. Obviously, when you put the feet in water, water will come up. The level of the water raised up. And that place where the water was raised up, they put the mark. And then the feet was taken, when the feet was taken out, and Imam asked the small pieces of iron, ground iron or small pieces of iron to be put inside the water. And so much small pieces of iron, burada, small pieces of iron was put in the water, so much that the water was raised up to the same mark. And then that much small pieces of iron were weighed so that they can find out how much is the weight of that iron, so that the silver can be given equal to that weight, because in those days they don't have no way to find out how to weigh the iron in the feet of that person. So this is just a very small example of Imam Ali alayhi salam's wisdom. The second case is about the bread. There were two people, one has five breads, the other one has three breads. They were together, about to start their food. Another third person, a guest, showed up, and both of them shared their eight breads. So all three of them are now eating eight breads. When the guest left, he gave eight dirhams. Now when the guest gave eight dirhams, their controversy started. How to divide the eight dirhams between those two people? So the person who had the five breads was, he said to the person who had three breads that, okay, I take five dirhams and you take three dirhams.
The person who had three breads, he did not agree. He wanted more. And they came to and complained to Imam Ali alayhi salam, "You do the justice." It would have been good for him to accept three dirhams that this person was giving to him, but he did not agree. So they came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali alayhi salam gave him one dirham. Rest of the seven dirhams belong to this person who has five breads. Now the person was shocked. How can I get one dirham only? And then, see, the point which was explained by Imam Ali alayhi salam, which I am paraphrasing in my own words, eight breads are, if you divide into three pieces, it will become three piece means one, make eight into one third. Make it three divide eight breads into three segments, three pieces or three segments. So each segment is now one third of the total breads, one third. We divide eight into three pieces. So let's make eight to be into 24 pieces. And those 24 pieces, if you consider eight to be equal to 24 pieces, and you divide the 24 into one third and one third and one third, that means one piece will have eight pieces. One third of the segment will have eight pieces. Another one third will have eight pieces. Another one third will have eight pieces. You have to divide into three sulus because there are three people. Three people eating the bread. So the total bread has to be one way or the other divided into three segments. So let's consider eight breads are equal to 24 pieces of food. And you divide 24 into three one thirds. So each one third is getting eight pieces, and eight pieces, eight pieces. If we suppose that there are three people and each person ate one third of the total bread. Each person ate one third of the total bread. That means this guest ate one third of the total breads. Person who had three breads ate one third of the total breads. The person who owned five breads also eat one third of the total bread. Isn't that right? They are three people. They will eat. We have to suppose they ate equally. So one third was eaten by each of the three people, which means eight pieces of the total 24 pieces. If you suppose eight breads equal to 24 pieces, you divide it into two, into 24 pieces, that means eight pieces and eight pieces and eight pieces are the equal share falling in the each person's favor. If you understand this kind of division, then the next step is now easy for you. So now the person who has five breads actually owns 15 pieces among those 24 pieces, and the person who owns three breads owns 9 pieces among those 24 pieces. And 15 and 9 is 24. And the person who is the owner of 5 breads, if you consider the 8 breads are equal to 24 equal pieces, then those 24 equal pieces, if you divide in 2 people who own the bread, this is a guest, he doesn't own the bread. So 2 people own the bread. Now one has 5 breads, one has 3 breads. So the one who has 5 breads, he actually is the owner of 15 pieces from those 8, from those 24 pieces. And the one who owns 3 breads is the owner of 9 pieces from those 24. Now, Imam Ali al-Islam is proving that among the 9 pieces that this guy owns, he has already eaten 8 pieces. Everybody ate 8 pieces from 24, isn't that right? Equally. So he ate 8 pieces already for himself, and 1 piece only was remaining that he gave to the guest. Because everybody ate equally, that's what we are supposing. 8 pieces, 8 pieces, 8 pieces. So he owns 3 breads, which equals to 9 total pieces. 8 pieces he had eaten himself. 1 piece he gave to the guest. This guy owns 15 pieces. 8 pieces are eaten by himself. Isn't that right? So the rest of the 7 pieces he gave to the guest. Because everybody ate equally. 8 pieces, 8 pieces, 8 pieces. Isn't that right? So he gave 7 pieces of his share to the guest, and this guy gave 1 piece of his share to the guest. And now the guest gave him 8 dirham. Gave them 8 dirham. So the guest ate 1 piece of the bread from this person's property and 7 pieces of the bread from this person's property. So this person, number 1, who owned 5 bread, deserves to get 5 dirhams. Oh, sorry, 7 dirhams. And because he gave 7 pieces to the guest, and this person who owns 3 breads, he gave 1 piece to the guest, so he deserves to get 1 dirham only. Is that clear? So this is just the second example of the huge list of stories which are so interesting about the qada and decision and judgments of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Next discussion is a little bit connected with itself, so I think we will end it here. Inshallah, continue it on next Wednesday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.